Tonight, as always, I invite you to keep your worship bulletin handy, and if you would, go ahead and turn to the back. Inside portion, there you'll find a place for you to take some sermon notes. Trust that God will lay something on your heart tonight that he desires for you to take out with you. If you need something to write with, I encourage you to raise your hand, and one of our ushers would be glad to get something into your hands. Or if you're in need of a bulletin, maybe I should have backed up and start there first. If you need a bulletin, raise your hand, and one of our ushers would be glad to get one of those into your hands as well. So let me set the situation up for you tonight. The room was packed with family and friends, people sitting in a square-like fashion on tables not too dissimilar from what we're sitting in tonight or what you're sitting in. People began to pore over the things that he had written on their sheets, their pieces of paper, their note cards that they had in front of them, and they were laboring over, line by line, word by word. The situation was this. It was an intervention. Very soon, the family member would be walking through the door. The young man, the son, the grandson, the nephew, the cousin, the friend. Seconds turned into minutes, and minutes seemed to turn into hours. And the longer the wait, the tougher it got. People began to wonder what was going to happen when the son finally walked in the door. What would they say? How would he react when he saw the room that was gathered to talk to him? In those moments leading up to the time when he walked in, they couldn't help but think back to the young man they once knew. The man that was so vibrant and full of life, the one that was a hitch pin for community activity, the one who excelled with all kinds of things at school and community events. The young man who was a shell of the man he used to be because of drug addiction. Well, eventually the doorknob began to turn and the door slowly opened and in walked the young man. And after taking two steps, he paused and began to backpedal. But it was in that moment that his mom stood up and went over to him immediately and said one simple, profound word and request. Please. So after that, the son came over and sat between his mom and his grandma. And one by one, the family members began to read from their note cards and their sheets what had been laid on their hearts about the man, the young man they once knew, the man they saw had changed so detrimentally in such a short time. And one by one, as the family begins to read off what's on their note cards and on their sheets, over here in the corner is the father who has not taken his eyes off the son, who during this whole time has sat here with a tough, hard exterior, arms crossed, eyes focused on the floor, not a crack. But then it was time for Dad to speak. And this is what he does. He gets up from his chair and he walks over to his son and he grabs him by the hand and he says, I've never left. I miss you. Will you please stop running and come home? At this point, visibly the exterior, the hard shell begins to crack. No more arms crossed, no more vacant stare on the floor, no more rigid posture, but an opened heart and an open mind. It was in that moment that grace walked across the room. It was in that moment that grace broke the heart. Tonight, as we continue with our journey through the book of Jonah, we see how grace walked across the room. We see how God in his fatherly divine grace and love hand chose his servant Jonah to go and express and unpack God's heart to this people sitting over here, the people of Nineveh. And if I could put it this way for us tonight, it would be just this. The people of Nineveh needed a divine intervention. God knew that the people of Nineveh were on a crash course because of their wickedness, because of their sin, because of the stuff they were doing that was breaking their relationships with each other, but also with him. So it was out of fatherly divine grace that God sends his prophet Jonah to go and unpack a heart of grace to the people of Nineveh. And this is what we learned in chapter 1, verse 1 to 2. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. And then we learned what Jonah did, didn't we? God says, go this way. Which way does Jonah go? He goes that way. And Jonah is completely off course. See, we enter into the book of Jonah, and we're thinking, okay, maybe the Ninevites over here, maybe they're the ones that need the intervention. But all the while, God has not lost sight of his runaway prophet either, not by a long shot. We hear this in verse 3. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Sounds to me like Jonah himself is in need of a divine intervention. God has called him to go this way, and Jonah is going this way. And so this is what God does. We learned about this, haven't we? God sends this horrific storm over the boat, over the body of water, that would make deadliest catch look like a day in a kiddie pool, right? In no time at all, the people on the boat are upset, they're concerned, they're worried, they're scared. They go to Jonah. Jonah, what should we do? And Jonah's answer is this: throw me over the side of the boat. I'm done. God gave me this assignment, but I'm opting for the watery grave. Throw me in. And so that's exactly what they do. But God in his grace is not done with Jonah. Amen. Once again, he sends another divine intervention. And if we can maybe picture it and frame it that way tonight, God sends divine, grace-filled interventions for his people so they don't wander off course. This is what we learn. Now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights. Boy, I thought I had a rough stay in a hotel once, but Jonah, you get the prize. So Jonah wasn't a great fish. Where have you been? See, I can't help but wonder, out of pastoral care and love for you, if something has swallowed you this week. Or maybe you find yourself engulfed by a season of life, and boy, it doesn't look like you're going to see much daylight very soon. And maybe, just maybe, from whatever your fish is, if I could put it that way, maybe you and I start to feel some of these same sentiments that Jonah felt, the ones that we read through our responsive reading, the one that we heard through our first reading tonight from Jonah chapter 2. Things like this: I was going down. I didn't see that coming, and boy, when it hit me, it cut me off right at the knees, and I was going down. You ever been there? You ever felt that way? You don't have to raise your hand. But I can't help but wonder if some of us have felt that way recently. Because of that, because of him, because of her, I felt like I was going down. Or maybe that's not it. Maybe it's this. Maybe the waves came over me. And I realize maybe some of you, not all of you, went fishing this week, and a couple of you have. By the way, I'm glad you made it back. But maybe your wave was a bill you didn't see coming. Maybe a wave for you was medical related. Maybe it was something else. Maybe it was none of that. Maybe it was what I had done finally caught up to me. So in other words, there was something that God asked me not to do, but I did it, and poof. Maybe it was this. I had things wrapped around my head and my heart. And Jonah said, he had seaweed wrapped around his head, and I don't see much seaweed here tonight. But maybe for you, maybe it's anxiety or depression, or a situation from work or your family or a community that has so inundated the cells of your brain, it feels like there is a vice on your head tonight. Or maybe it's the weather. I mean, that's fair, right? It's Fort Wayne. Or maybe it was this. I hit bottom. And when I was there, I felt alone and I felt abandoned. Maybe you're not in a fish, but maybe you're in a situation where you feel this way tonight. And maybe, just maybe, God's people, just like Jonah, they need a divine intervention. So Jonah's in the fish, and not only is he surrounded by, well, to censor things, fishy stuff, he's also surrounded and engulfed with a lot of hard feelings. Abandonment, desertion, sin, a mission he should have done, but he didn't, and a question if God still loves him right where he's at. But God, in his grace, once again, implements a divine intervention for Jonah and reminds you and me that you and I are far from alone in our fish moments. This is what Jonah says from inside the fish. And maybe, just maybe, through the working of the Holy Spirit and the Word in your life and in mine, maybe in the midst of our fish moment, maybe, just maybe, God's going to work in such a way where you and I can still give thanks right from that fish, whatever that is for you. This is what Jonah says. But you, Lord my God, you brought my life up from the pit. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. What I have vowed, I will make good. I will say, salvation comes from the Lord. See, for Jonah and the people of his day, they had this place called a temple that they would direct their thoughts, their worship towards, because God had said, worship me here. Meet me here. I will meet you here. Friends, you and I know we don't have to go to a building to worship God. We don't direct our thoughts and our focus to some established structure. No, we have something much, much better. This season, we remember that we get to focus our attention on someone else. Someone else who meets us in these moments when we cry out from the depths of our heart and our soul and the fish, whatever that is for you. I was going down. What I did finally caught up to me. I hit bottom. I felt alone. I felt abandoned. And I didn't think there was any salvation. And then Jesus comes in this Lenten season. And he reminds you and me, I have a divine intervention for you. And because of who God is, he gives to you and to me forgiveness, grace, eternal life, and strength for yet another day. Friends, where do you need to hear this tonight? Where is your fish moment? Where do you feel engulfed by waves? Where do you feel like things are wrapped around your head that's just not letting loose? Where do you need to hear tonight that God is still with you in that place? Tonight, this season, tonight and this season of Lent, as we continue our journey through the cross, we remember we don't travel alone. Amen? We have our God who has promised and pledged to be with us. He made that promise to us in our baptism. And what God promises, he does not break. Amen? This season, we walk together and we walk with our Lord. May God grant this to us for Jesus' sake. Amen. This time in our service, I invite you to stand as we continue with our confession of faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed.